Morning!
Morning!
Welcome to the India Explained podcast, recorded in London and San Francisco. One take, unscripted, no rehearsal.
Hey Bhante, greetings to you on this Friday for a change. So I believe you're off to India, right?
Yeah, Rohit. Tomorrow I head off to India. I will be flying to Chennai on the 1 p.m. British Airways flight. So if there are any people who listen to this podcast who are on the flight, hopefully I'll catch up with them.
You should, hey man, I'm going to announce this on our Twitter feed also. So if you want to meet people in India, that'll be, I think, cool too, right?
Yeah. Let's do that. So,
okay.
So they should generally tweet me. Yeah.
Okay. Totally. Sorry. Yeah. So I was thinking, like, you sent me this really funny story. Let's start with this first. It's sort of funny, but also comment on India. Panna Singh Pakodewala surrendered 60 lakhs to the income tax department after a day-long survey conducted on Thursday. Now, we know the IT department has done a bunch of so-called raids recently. A couple of them have been on, PC Chidambaram's son and him, some 50 crores worth of properties. There's the magazine called Quint, its founder Raghav Behl. Maybe it was critical of demonetization, I don't know. So that's kind of, the word on the media street. So there is the suspicion or whiff of vendetta. But this pakoda seller, now the funny thing here is that a while ago, Modi ji had also said that if people are unemployed, they can fry pakodas. So I'll just, leave it there. Maybe Modi was on to something, but pakoda boss, owing so much tax. What do you make of this?
60 lakh tax in Ludhiana, right? My first question is, how much pakora do people in Ludhiana eat? Right? Because, it seems like there was a lot of pakora that was sold, right, for this man. And you're right, this is Prime Minister Modi's comment around pakora. So 60 lakh undisclosed income, which is not a mean sum, boss.
Not at all.
And but there is a provenance to this guy. He's not Aragara pakora seller. He has been going in Ludhiana since 1952. Late Panna Singh set up a small pakora shop at Gill Road and he became a household name. But not only in Punjab, but also in other states. Now, you've lived in Maharashtra and other parts of India. I've lived in Delhi and Calcutta and for a brief while in Mumbai. Have you heard of Panna Singh Pakodawala?
No, I have not heard of Panna Singh Pakodawala. The closest I heard is there was a guy called Muchhar Panwala who had fantastic mustache.
Right.
But, the thing is I lived in, Bombay's, South Bombay, which is called Ward A or whatever, is, I believe, single-handedly is a kind of weird phrase, but I believe that just that particular tax area is responsible for something 40-50% of India's entire income tax collection. Now, we are talking about direct income tax, right? All Indians, especially the poor, actually pay indirect taxes, and the poor subsidize, the education of the wealthy and so on.
Right.
Now, within that, for several years I lived in Cuff Parade. Just to give you context, of course it was, 20 years ago, but even so, there was a guy who ran away to Hong Kong, I think because the income tax department, send him a notice for 75 lakhs owed. And basically the modus operandi was always the same. The guy would run away, then there would be some, settling happening because the IT department's widely known to be corrupt. But the guy was a businessman. Is he a good businessman, bad businessman? He was dealing with something some durable goods. So it's a very good point. I have a feeling that there is something to do with Punjabi appetites here.
Right.
Because, Punjus will eat, chicken liver and paranthas for breakfast. Heavy maki dal for 10 a.m. snack. Then mutton chops for lunch. I know that Jalandhar, I think, this is Ludhiana, right? Jalandhar,
this is Ludhiana, yeah.
So Jalandhar, another city in Punjab, that is also known for the maximum consumption of whiskey. So, whiskey, people always enjoy having with snacks. So I think that there's two things going on here. One is that the guys are wolfing down pakodas by the kilos.
Right.
And I think then there are also and I just slightly this may be a slightly sexist generalization, but in my defense, this is a remark that my grandmother used to make about Punjabi women in Punjab, that they only thing, they would just sit around and gossip, and the phrase was charpai todna, like they'd sit on the charpais till they would break. So, you know, they also like, you know, consume pakoras by the bushel full. That's my theoretical explanation.
Okay. So you've got alcohol and gossip riding alongside the sale of pakoras. 60 lakhs worth of undeclared income for a pakora seller is a lot of money. I think the other thing that I wanted to call out on this episode was, aside from pakora seller, like chaatwala, fuskawala, you know, this kind of informal economy of providing snacks in India probably has a huge amount of income. And again, you know, things like acceptance of credit card, contactless payments, things that are seen as convenient consumption might actually bring these forms of businesses, plug them into the mainstream. But without making this too serious, the final point I want to make about Pakora Wala is this. This guy has given up 60 lakhs of undeclared income to the income tax authority, right? He's sitting there thinking, shit, how did this happen, right? If you were sitting in the Pakora Wala's shoe, would you diversify? Would you go legit? Or would you be tipped into a world of crime?
Now, this is very, it's a borderline question. But it's an excellent question. And we, you know, I might have to go a little serious for this. Look. Every single blue-blooded East Coast family in the US made its fortune off the opium trade. And we find the same thing happening in India. You know, you have one generation of like a guy who's gaming the system. The next generation will semi-professionalize. Third generation will work for Amnesty International. So I would actually say that going towards the totally criminal side doesn't kind of make sense. I would diversify into something legit. I mean, there is a guy I know and... I'm not going to take any names here, but, you know, he's known to be a kind of mafia don in North India.
Yeah.
You know, finger in every pie except drugs.
Right.
And there's a particular reason for that, which, you know, I'll just keep to myself. That was, he had an ideological opposition to drugs. But, you know, his son has completely, like, laundered the family business and gone legit into, like, you know, real estate, etc., etc. So, you know, I think that, the, you know, the Pakora Wala will learn his lesson. Look, if he's paid 60 lakhs here, he's probably laundered a ton. There is some Pakora-based money in Zurich also, guaranteed.
I think, you know, Rohit, one of the things we should do, and we don't want to Pakora Charpoy Torna in this one, but one of the things that we want to do is explore which current industrialist in India, who's kind of dabbling in airplanes or telecoms at the moment, started off as a pakora seller. That could, because see, the provenance of crime has humble beginnings, right? If that is what you're saying from your US example.
Yeah. I mean,
we need to do an investigation that which current Indian industrialist, because you see, the, in the industrialist narrative in India, there's this thing that, you know, he didn't have a lungi to wear, but he kind of, you know, made it from footpath to Taj Mahal in, you know, 20 years. So in this narrative, there has to be borderline criminality. And that's worth exploring is what I'm saying.
Oh, totally. I think Amit Shah is the one that comes to mind. There's at least one story in Outlook, for instance. Now he's, you know, he's made an industry of like, he's a politician. He's not an industrialist, but his son had some, you know, shady wind farm company, which didn't do well, but, you know, the assets increased. I think a number of papers, Wire had stories on it. But, you know, he didn't come from like poor antecedents at all. Amit Shah was actually born in Chicago, son of Gujarati stockbroker. But he, you know, apparently at least one story suggests that he was in sort of the extortion business. So, yeah, you know, even the Tatas. Now, the Tatas, for instance, they were opium traders. And they were basically trading opium with the help of the British, which means that they contributed to, you know, wide-scale opium addiction in China. And at that point of time, it was not technically illegal, but the silence around it is amazing. So I know, for instance, that several years ago, there was a scholar who wanted to do a book on it. And, you know, he or she was contacting, you know, people, Parsis. And Parsis particularly venerate the Tata family. But the silence was amazing. I mean, you know, that's why when you go to the Chhatrapati Shivaji Museum, which used to be called the Prince of Wales Museum, there's a ton of stuff donated by the Tatas. You see all these, you know, vast amounts of figurines and vases from China and so on. So, yeah, I mean, you know, now it's this, there's this whole narrative of like free market enterprise and all. I think even economists need to, there's a theoretical variable of criminality which needs to be added. You're completely spot on about that.
Right. Look, you may, let's wrap up this episode on this. I mean, we wish the Pakorawala all the best. May his reign continue. And I look forward to trying his sometimes when I'm in that part of the country.
Don't
all right, that's enough
for that. Okay, man. Take care. Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to us. Rohit and Bunty would like to sign off. Please stay tuned. Follow us on India Explained on Twitter. Keep listening. Thank you for all your support.